And to help me figure out when and how time travel might actually be possible, we've got an astrophysicist at Drexel University and the author of A User's Guide to the Universe. Please welcome Dave Goldberg. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
So you are, we've done research, you're a reputable scientist, yet here you are willing to come on and talk about this not entirely reputable subject of time travel. I wonder how your interest in this subject began.
There was a professor of mine in graduate school, a guy by the name of Rich Gott, who wrote a book called Time Travel in Einstein's Universe, and he and I would have these long conversations, and continue to. And he really got me thinking about not just the sci-fi part of it, because, you know, as any student of science, I was obviously going to be a science geek and into sci-fi.
Really?
But amazing, but true. But also really got me thinking of the how one would go about building a time machine and talking about the real science behind it.
I've read, and I do follow this because I so badly want it to be true, that there's recent work by theoretical physicists over the last decade or so that make time travel seem even more plausible as a possibility theoretically.
Well, almost last 100 years. So the big physics that describes time travel, the big physics that describes time, is Einstein's theory of general relativity, and that's when he came up in 1915. And basically, it's as it's normally purported. It's space is bent, time is bent, and they're very much like one another. So time travel models are very much a real area of physical research, and generally they involve warping time, usually with big masses, by warping space. And if you fly around fast enough and you can bend enough and manipulate enough energy, you can do it.
And so how does that actually happen at some indeterminate time in the future?
You want the blueprints.
Something like that,
okay.
At least a sketch.
Okay. So my favorite model for time machines is something that was designed by Kip Thorne and some of his students in the 1980s.
Who was a physicist?
He is a physicist, yeah. Yes. And the basic idea involves something called wormholes, which are a staple of sci-fi. The basic idea is space is bent. You go in one end, you come out the other, potentially in a very, very distant part of space. We've never seen them yet, but people have ideas about how we might go about making them. That's how you travel through space, and it's a simple matter then to travel through time. You take one mouth of the wormhole. You fly it around for a while at speeds close to the speed of light, and you bring it back. And then, if you've ever heard of the twin paradox of special relativity, the idea is if you've been flying around, you age less than the stay-at-home twin. So you go in the mouth that's been flying around, and you come out the other end, and you're into the past by a predetermined amount, and it's fixed.
And I've some of the naysayers and doubters suggest that the amounts of energy, for instance, that would be required to actually manipulate these wormholes for human beings to use are impossibly immense. Is that a big problem?
See, but impossible is a very strong word.
Oh, good, good.
Right, I mean...
Go there.
Sure. I would say you and I, we after the show, I don't suggest we get together and try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not outside the realm of possibility. We think about what will eventually be within our control. Splitting the atom was something that would have seemed impossible, mm-hmm. an impossible amount of energy at not too long in the past. The idea that we might someday be a super civilization that's able to create large-scale black holes or wormholes or cosmic strings, which are another way of making time machines, it's not impossible. It's certainly within the realm of what we know about how the universe works.
A listener, when we said we were going to do this show, had a question, which is, will you control for geographic change? You get in your wormhole, enter it here. It's one thing to go to, you know, some time in the future or past, but how will one control getting not just ending up floating in the middle of space somewhere?
Well, but you know, so the best time machines typically involve these wormholes. So you're probably going to be floating in space anyway. You're going to be in a spaceship.
Uh-huh.
But if you're able to travel through time, and you end up half a light year from Earth, and that's the least of your problems, then
yes. Gotcha.
You're
gotcha.
Probably in good shape.
So the GPS thing will just come as an option.
Sure. It should work fine.
When you talk about wormholes, I think I get wormholes as this kind of shortcut through time or space, but it sounds so abstract to me. I wonder, is there a certain kind of physicist who rolls his or her eyes when you start talking about time travel with your fellow time travel talking physicists?
Yes, they are very serious people.
Yeah.
There are many eminent people. Stephen Hawking is famously a time travel doubter, but that's only because, of course, we don't have a proof of concept.
And his big problem is that why aren't there people from the future among us now ever? If time travel were possible, that's one of his
points. That's a possibility. Although the time machine we just described, there's a good answer for that. Since you need to already have made the time machine before you can use it, you can't ever go back before it was built. So,
Mr. Hawking.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about these physicists? This Dane and this Japanese physicist who think that. The Large Hadron Collider is being sabotaged from the future somehow. What do you make of that?
Well, there's been a lot of press about that story. I read the papers, you know, because I was kind of interested to see what their argument was going to be. I don't think their argument is based in any sort of real physics, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
They're just cranks, but they happen to be PhDs with tenure somewhere? I mean...
In this particular instance, I think they've got some other really good work, but
uh-huh.
I think this is one of those cases where they've let the speculative side go a little overboard.
And what about traveling in the future versus the past? Is one look to be easier than the other?
Oh, yeah. Traveling in the future is easy. We can just hang out here, and then we're all set.
Yeah.
But we can do it a little bit better than that. For example, if we have a black hole, time travels very, very slowly... near massive objects. So you hang out near the surface of a black hole, you wait for a few minutes, or what seems like a few minutes to you, years or hundreds of years pass, you fly out, you're all set. Just make sure you hang out near the edge, on the outside, because if you go in, you're not coming out.
But in your future wormhole, manipulated wormhole possibilities, will that technology be agnostic as to whether you go backward or forward?
Oh, yeah. The mouth of the wormhole that you flew around, that's the one, if you go into it, if you want to go into the past. The other wormhole, the other mouth, you
really?
Go into that.
Exit,
if you wanna...
entrance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, forward, back.
It's like this information superhighway, but with time.
Boy, you're encouraging me about this whole prospect. Don't go away. We're going to talk some more, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will look at time machines in the movies. We'll also talk to the great science fiction writer Connie Willis, who has written tons of stories and novels about time travel. I'm Kurt Anderson. We are live in the Jerome L. Green Performance Space in New York City. And this is Studio 360 from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.